Begin the current daven sech, this Evrin Dav Tzadi test. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. In other words, we had a Mishnah on the previous daf that said a person is allowed to stand in Rishas HaYachid and carry things in Rishas HaRam or vice versa. But however, the qualification that our Mishnah said, which is what we're beginning now with, the Gemara says, Ubavach lo yoytzi chutz. The Mishnah said, as long as he then doesn't take it out more than Dalet Amos from where it is, that's okay. In other words, although you could stand in Rishas HaYachid and move things in Rishas HaRam, we're not concerned you're going to come to bring it into Rishas HaYachid, because you can move things around over there, as long as you don't move it more than Dalet Amos, which would be a problem in of itself, because then you would be doing transporting an object for Amos in Rishas HaRam, which would be the Issa Deraisa of Havara, of part of the Malacha Beitzah, so that's okay. So now the Gemara infers something. Ha-haitzi. However, if someone would move an object more than Dalet Amos from where it is in Rishas HaRam, when he's standing in Rishas HaYachid, then Chayev Chatas. That sounds like he would be liable for Chayev Chatas, which is, although he's standing on a high area, let's say on the roof, which is the Rishas HaYachid, and then he's reaching over this area of 10 Tfachim, and he's bending down and he's moving things from one place to another, although it's passing through a Makom Ptur, which is above 10 Tfachim from the ground, we don't say that it's going to be exempt because it's passing over an exempt area, and even though it's going from Rishas HaRam to Rishas HaRam, more than Dalet Amos, it's going to be Potter. So you see, the main criteria, and that's why you'll be Chayav HaChatas, in this case is that you go after the Hanocha and the Akira. And since you took it from Rishas HaRam and you put it down Rishas HaRam, therefore you're going to be Chayav HaChatas. So the Gemara says, Lemesayel Rava, let's say this supports the opinion of Rava. The Amar Rav, the Rava says the same idea. He says, Amavar Chayfetz mitchilas arba l'seif arba. If someone is transporting an object in Rishas HaRam from 4 Amis to the end of the 4 Amis, in other words, 4 Amis in Rishas HaRam, the Viru Derech Olav. And then he transports it over himself, which means that in the process, it's going through a Makom Ptur because the area over 10 Tfachim and Rishas HaRam is considered a Makom Ptur, an exempt area. Chayv is liable. And therefore, you seem to have a support from this case of the Mishnah, which says that although in Rishas HaYachid, you can go ahead and pick things up, and thereby you're going to be passing it over an area of the area of Rishas HaRam through a Makom Ptur. Doesn't make a difference. You still will be Chayv because the criteria is the Akira and Anocha. The Gemara says, no, it's no raya. Mik tani, did we learn what we were inferring im hoitzi chayev chatas? That yes, if you do the, we said that as long as you don't do that, which that the inference is that if you do it, you chayev chatas, maybe not. Dilme im hoitzi pata aval asa. Maybe if you do the hoitza, that you're exempt from the chayev deraisa, but it's asa mederabanan because maybe you might come to transport it lower in the airspace of 10 tfachim from the ground, which would be a full-fledged issa deraisa vavar, but we don't see clearly, again, you're not supposed to. But we don't see because then you'll be over on the Deiraisa, that which is the halacha of Rav. And maybe you'll only be over in the Issa Drabbanan because that's a gzera that although min haTorah there is no problem when you transport it through a Makom Ptur, but min Drabbanan we say you shouldn't because you might come to do it even below 10 Tfachim, which would then be the Issa Deiraisa of Havara Dalet Amos in the Shazarab. Ikadarman, those that say a reverse version, that the inference that they had originally made from the Mishnah was, ha-haitzi patavalasa. It sounds like that you shouldn't, when you say you shouldn't, it means to say that even if you do, you're exempt, but it's only asa midrabanan, so le-mitavet tuyufti drava. Let's say this refutes Rava. Dama Rava, because Rava said that it's not just that you shouldn't, and if you do, you're over on something midrabanan, but you're exempt, because Rava said, Dama Rava, ha-maver mitchilas dalat seif dalat, says if you transport something through dalat amas and rishas haram, and you pass it over yourself through a Makom Ptur, you're going to be chayev achatas, not just patav al asr. Tosfos Gemara gives the answer, mik tani haitzi patav al asr. Did we learn, but that if you do transport it when you're standing with Rishas HaYachid and you're passing it over the exempt area, that then you're exempt, but that it's forbidden midrabanan? Dilmim haitzi chayev achatas. Maybe it is like Rava, and that it's saying you shouldn't do it, but if you do it, not only that it's going to be worse than not doing it, in other words, that it's going to be asim drabanan, but it'll even be issa deraisa of a chiyev chatzas, exactly like the halacha of Rabbah. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah on the previous staff that said, lo yamen adim rishus hayachid b'chul, a person should not stand in rishus hayachid and be mashtin to urinate in rishus harabim. On that the Gemara says, Amar Yosef, hishtin verak, if someone urinates, or if he spits out his saliva, chayev chatzas, as the Mishnah says, you shouldn't do that, and that, what is the, why shouldn't you do it? It's something that you'll, if you do it, you'll actually be chayav chatzis because that's a malacha, the iraisa of haitza. You're transporting the urine or the saliva from the domain that you're in to the other domain. So the Gemara asks, how is that possible? I understand you shouldn't do it because maybe it's drabbanim. How is it going to be an issa deraisa of haitza? V'be'inen akira v'hanocha. You have to have the two components of haitza is you have to do an akira, you have to uprooted. You have to pick it up from where the area is. And you have to do anach, you have to put it down in the other domain. Now, one of the halachic criteria of akira anacha is that it has to be mi'al gabi mokim dalad, that it has to be from an area that it's a mokim chashav that has dalad tfachim velekin. Here you don't have that. In other words, here it's coming from his organ or it's coming from his mouth, the urine and the saliva. And therefore, how could we say, I could understand that you shouldn't do it, maybe because of Issa Drabbanim, but how could it be chiv chatas if for the chiv of Itza to have inclusive of the two components of akira and hanacha, there you have to have that akira is from a mokum dalad and the hanacha is on a mokum dalad, and that you don't have over here from his organ and from his mouth. So that the Gemara gives an answer and says that machshavtoi, his thought process, in other words, his intentions that he needs this, whatever it is that he has, either the urine or the saliva, meshavile mokum, that itself designates it as it's a place. In other words, it creates a chashav ha'itza. That is, although you're right, it generally needs a makam chashav. However, your machshava could create chashivas. And many areas in halacha we find this, that achshave, your machshava actually designates it as a chashav thing. And the Gemara proves this svar. If you don't say this chiddush, and saying that although generally you have to have a makam chashav, which is a makam dalad, which the generic is a makam dalad, but you could actually create a smaller area into a makam chashav to say that this is an akira and anacha. If you don't say this chiddush, but hadam rabba, then this halacha that rabba says that zarak, if you throw something dalad amis in rosh hazarah, v'nach b'fi hakelav, and it lands in the mouth of a dog, oy b'fi hakishon, or in the mouth of a furnace where the fire catches it and it gets burnt, that he says yichayev chatos. But it has to land, as you just asked, on a makam dal, and you're not having that because the mouth of a dog is not a makam dal, and if it gets burnt by the fire, you never actually landed in the makam dal. So therefore, how are you going to be liable in those cases? Ella, rather, you have to say, like we just said, that his machshavah, his intention, I wanted to land it. Oh, I want it. Now you just created as a makam chashav. It's something that's significant to you. So therefore, that will be considered this akira anacha. Here also, his machshava, that this is what he wants it to be over here, creates it as a makam chashav, and therefore it will be considered a makam chashav for the akira and the hanacha. Now the Gemara asks, interestingly, Bayer Rava. Rava asked, regarding this case that we just spoke about, let's say he's in Rosh Hashanah, which we were speaking about him urinating or spitting his saliva from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Upi ama b'shusaram, but the opening of his organ is in Rosh Hashanah. So he's standing in Rosh Hashanah, but part of him is outside. Mahu, what be the halacha over there? Basa akira, do we go after the akira? In other words, where it's being uprooted, where is it being taken out from, which is from the body? Azlin, then that's where we go. And where's it coming from? It's coming from the cavity that's inside the body. That's where the fluids in the person comes. And therefore, it's going to be chayiv because it's coming out of the body, which is in Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah. Or do we say that it's not from where it actually starts its process from, but where it actually comes out from? Where in the body does it come out from? It comes out from the pi'ama, from the opening of the organ. That's a Mishas Rabim. And therefore, you're not having an IQ from Mishas HaYachid. So therefore, it's not going from Mishas HaYachid to Mishas Rabim. And therefore, you're going to be Pater. So the Gemara says, Teku, let it stand. It's not clear if it's going to be considered from Mishas HaYachid to Mishas Rabim or Mishas Rabim to Mishas Rabim, and thereby being Pater. So now, the end of the Mishnah said, the chin lo yarek, similarly, one should not spit his saliva from one domain to another domain. And they concluded with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if the saliva was already nitlash, which means to say it was already detached from where it normally is in the mouth, and there it is just hanging around one's mouth, so then he said, you're not allowed to even walk dalet amis from Rosh Hashanah, because now that's like a load in your mouth, and you're carrying that in your mouth. So the Gemara asks, that's all he said was that mishin nitlash. So the question is, would it be considered a load in his mouth that even if he doesn't turn it around, and that is just from the fact that it's detached from where the secretions generally are of the saliva, Rabbi Yehuda already says that it's forbidden because ultimately it's to be taken out of the mouth. Even if you don't swirl it around in your mouth, that it's there now, it's something that's really gathered together that you want to get it out. But for now, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. It says, if somebody was eating a pressed fig of truma, with impure, richly impure hands, and that is regular hands that one didn't wash, is the Rabbanan created a halacha that they're considered shnius, they're considered a sheni l'tumah, and they invalidate the kedusha of the truma, they make it tamei midi Rabbanan. So therefore he has impure hands, but he's eating truma, which cannot become tamei. Now he stuck his hand into his mouth to take out a rock. Again, so he has the truma inside his mouth, and his hands are tummy from this halacha of shnius of the yada, of stam yadayim. So what's the halacha? Remeir mitami. Remeir says that the truma devela becomes tummy now, and the reason is because although solid items, for example, like a fig, can only become hochshur lekabel tumah, could be only susceptible to tumah once it comes in contact with one of the seven liquids. Now the truma became hochshur; it came prepared because of the saliva that's in his mouth, which is valid as a fluid to make it prepared for tumah. So now it's susceptible. Now your tummy hands, when it went into your mouth, it made it tummy. Rabbi Yossi says no, the truma the vela is still tahar. Why is that? Because he holds as long as the spit is still in his mouth, it's not considered a liquid because it's still considered part of the person's body, and therefore it does not make the food, the solid food item, susceptible to tumah. Behuda says it depends. If he went and he twirled around the spit, that is, he gathered it together, which is ready now to be expelled from his mouth, then tummy. Then it's going to make the truma items in his mouth tummy, because since it's ready to be spit out, it's already considered a bona fide liquid to be machshir the truma to become tummy. Lehi bich batar, but if he did not gather it together to spit it out, it's going to be tar. So this Mishnah in Kalim seems to contradict his opinion over here, where we just mentioned that he says that it's not going to be considered a liquid. That seems to contradict his opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, where he didn't mention anything about hipachba. He just said that if it's nitlash, if it's just detached from where it naturally is, then it's already going to be considered a liquid. Again, so we have this contradiction. On the one hand, we have Rabbi Yehuda Meseches Kalim that says that it's only considered a liquid if it's going to be not only nitlash, but it's actually going to be twirled around, it's something that's ready to be expelled. Whereas on the other hand, we have in our Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't walk with it, dalet amos, and shas rabim, even when it's nitlash, even before you mahapach in your mouth. So I'm Rabbi Yechon resolves it very easily. He says, Mukhlef as a shita, that Rabbi Yehuda ultimately changed his opinion from our Mishnah that he does require hipach, as we find in the Mishnah Masechtas Kalim. He changed his mind. Rish Lakush says, no, lo'ilam le'tachlef. It's not true that we don't have to say that he changed his opinion, but rather, v'hochab ma'eskinen, in our Mishnah, where he says that you don't need to have hipach because he doesn't mention that, he considers it a separate, individuated liquid from separate from the person's body, even if it's just nitlash, even without hipach, is talking about bekichai, is talking about with his phlegm. And that is, he has phlegm that comes from the moisture in the body that's detached because of illness. That does not require hipach, and therefore our Mishnah is talking about phlegm, and that Mishnah is talking about spit, and that would be only if it's gathered. Whereas phlegm, once it's there, it's already something ready to be expelled, and therefore it's even without hipach. The Gemara asks on this, by the time we learn the Braiser, Behuda Omer, Kichai v'nitlash. Behuda says that regarding if a person has phlegm that was detached, he shouldn't go dalet amos until he spits it out. So the Gemara makes an inference. My love, wouldn't it make sense that he's talking about two different cases, that it also is including not only phlegm, but roik v'nitlash also. It's in reference to just like phlegm, so to spit is the same idea that even with just nitlash, again, which is contradictory to the Mishnah Kalim, where he says it has to be hipachoso. Another thing where it says, loy, kicha v'nitlash, it's only in reference to phlegm that got detached, but spit, as we had resolved that in Mishnah Masechtas Kalim, is not enough that it just got detached from its natural area in the body, but unless it was gathered around, ready to be taken out, so that would be the difference, again, the same resolution that kichai is as what we're talking about in our Mishnah, phlegm is once it's already detached, and spittle is until it's gathered, ready to be expelled. But again, the Gemara continues to ask, but by the time we're in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say explicitly, he says, kichai shenitlash, regarding phlegm that was detached, v'chein roik shenitlash, also, regarding spit that was detached, lo yahalach dalet amos ad sheyarik, that even there he includes for our in the criteria of what he says in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to walk dalet amos until you get rid of it, because you're going to be carrying this load in your mouth, even if it's just nitlash, even if it's just detached, even without hipach, even without having it gathered. So that seems to be clearly not like the resolution we said before, and that not only by kichai, but even by roik, even by spit, would be even without hipach. So we're back to the contradiction. So el machvartas, the Gemara says, rather, it's clear, kedushanin mekara, like we answered before, that it is mukhlefes hashita, that he ultimately changed his mind and says that you do need to have hipach, like it says in the Mishnah Maseches Kalim. Not like the way Rish Lakish attempted to resolve the contradiction, but ultimately he did change his mind. So the Gemara says, Amar Rish Lakish, a different halacha related to this. Kiach b'fnei rabbi. If someone spits out his phlegm in front of his rebbe, chayv misa, he's liable for death from the hands of heaven. Shanem, like it says a pasuk in Mishlei, it says kol misanai. Hashem says, this is really the Torah that's talking, and it's in the parasha of Hashem Kaneni. The Torah says kol misanai. All those hate me, ahavu mavus. They love death. So the drush is, al tikri l'masanai, don't read it for those that hate me, ela l'masniai, those that cause me to be hated, which is such a type of case where this person, that he loves death, he's going to be liable for death because he's causing me to be hated by showing such disregard for his teacher by spitting out phlegm in front of him. But the Gemara asks, v'amein l'sanis, what do you mean? It's against his will. It was forcefully that because he's either sick or because of the cold that he has, that's why he has phlegm. Why is he responsible because of that? And that the Gemara says, kiach v'rok kamrina. We didn't just say that if he has phlegm in front of his rabbi, yeah, right, just having phlegm is not going to make you chayv misa. It means that he had the phlegm and he spit it out in front of his teacher. He should have either moved away from there, or he should have gone and put it into his garment or into a handkerchief. He should have done something that would have been more respectful. If he doesn't do it respectfully, then he's considered masnii, those that cause me, the Torah, to be hated by showing such disregard for his rabbi. And therefore he's ovum avos, he loves death. Now continue with the next Mishnah, similar to the idea about the previous Mishnah we had in the previous staff regarding standing in one domain and doing something else in another domain. So the Mishnah says, Lo yamar adam rishus hayachid v'yishta rishus rab. A person should not stand in rishus hayachid and drink in the rishus rab, and that is he sticks out his neck to the rishus rab and to drink. And the reason is, what's wrong with that? Is because it's a gezeirah, we're concerned that he might come to bring the cup that he's drinking from and bring it back with him into rishus hayachid, which would then be over on the isra itzah of from bringing the cup from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachad. Similarly, you shouldn't be Rishus Rabim v'yishta Rishus Yachad. Shouldn't be standing in the public domain and drinking in a private yard. Elim kein hichnes reisha v'rubay l'makim shushayis. Unless, if you enter into that domain, at least your head and the majority of your body in that area, then you would be allowed to, because again, the whole idea is only concerned you might bring it back. Once you have the majority, they were not concerned you're going to be bringing it back. And then the Mishnah concludes of a chen begas. The same thing applies to a wine press, which the Gemara will explain is in reference to halachas of meiser, but just that the same idea that you have to have the majority of your body in there would apply to that halacha, as we're going to see in the Gemara on Amud Beis. But first, the Gemara asks, it seems to be difficult in the structure of the Mishnayos. Reisha Rabbanan. The first Mishnah, the Mishnah on the previous daf, is obviously going like the opinion of the Rabbanan, as we had mentioned before, that it says that a person could stand in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and carry in Rosh Hashanah. That's like Rabban who argued in the Meir regarding the Mishnah later on that says regarding a key that you're not allowed to go ahead and do it in that area because you might come to bring it in. That's Rabban Meir who holds it's forbidden. The Mishnah on the previous Daf that says it's mutter, it's obviously like Rabban. Yet for Sefer Meir, then the end of the Mishnah, which is a continuation in our Mishnah, is like Meir, not like Rabban. Because here we find clearly that we are guys that you might bring in the item that you're using over there, like Rameyah. And so therefore it seems a little bit contradictory. Is it Rabbanan or is it Rameyah? And Rashi says that it would sound like an interesting answer. He says you can't say that the act of drinking the water itself should be considered hachnasa. In other words, he tries to say, wait, maybe our Mishnah is Rabbanan too. The one over here that says you can't drink when you're leaning over from one to the other, because then you're going to be gathering, you're going to be putting in the water and taking it into your body, which is in the other Rishus, just like we say that theory by urinating and spitting out spittle, and therefore our Mishnah would be even like Rabban, says, because it's very different. It says, because over there, you're doing the Akira from one domain, and then you're doing the Hanocha in another domain. You're standing here, but you're urinating into the other one. However, drinking, you're doing the Akira and Hanocha in that one domain, because in the domain where you're drinking, that's where your mouth is, and that's where the Hanocha is happening. Although ultimately, yes, when you drink, it's going to come down into your body, which is then in that other Rishus. But the Hanocha is happening in that Rishus. So therefore, you can't say that the reason why it's us is not because of a Gezeir, but actually because you're doing an actual Haitzah, which would be us according to everybody. It's not, because you're doing the Hanocha over there. It would only be a Gezeir. Therefore, the question is, this Mishnah seems to be like Rameyah. Yet the first half of the Mishnah, which is on the previous stuff, is like Drabbanan. So are we guys or are we not? Who are we saying like Drabbanan or Rameyah? So the Gemara answers, Rav Yosef, in truth, our Mishnah is not only like Rameyah, it's even like Drabbanan. That's the Mishnah in the previous stuff. Because here we're talking about objects that he needs for Divrei HaKol, and therefore it's like everybody, even according to the Drabbanan. And that is, even the Rabban would agree that you would make the Gzeira over here. And why? Because since you need the item that you're using in that other domain, then you might come to bring it to you. And therefore, since these beverages, whatever it is that you're drinking, you need it, Therefore, even the Rabbanan would agree that we're gozer, but just to move objects, Rabbanan not concerned. But here, when you're drinking, it's something that you need. Then we're concerned. You might bring it to that rishos, even according to the Rabbanan. Now the Gemara asks, regarding this halacha that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that you can't stand in one domain and drink in the other domain, which, as we said, is possible even according to all opinions, because you might come to bring it back where you are. So the question is, karmelis mai? What would be the halacha regarding a karmelis? That is, if you're standing in the karmelis and you want to drink in Rishos HaYachar or Rishos HaRab, what would be the halacha? In other words, karmelis is only rabbinic domain. Is that maybe more lenient? We only spoke about the biblical domains. What would be the halacha over there? So we have machlokes. I'm not buying. It's the same thing. In other words, just like you're not allowed to stand in Rosh Hashanah and drinking in Rosh Hashanah Yachad, so too you can't stand in the Karmelis drinking in Rosh Hashanah Yachad because you might come to bring it back. And carrying from a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah is an Isser. It's only Isser Drabbanim, but still Isser. So we're concerned you might come to bring it back. It's the same thing. But Amar Rava, Rava argues and he says, wait a second. He gufa gzeira. This whole halacha is itself a gezerah. In other words, we're concerned that if we let you drink, you might come to bring the vessel back. So, but it itself is not an issa deraisa. It's only gezerah derabbanan that we're concerned you might come to bring it back. Now we're going to make a double gezerah. In other words, the whole karmelis is only an issa that because you might come to do it from a biblical domain to another one. That's why we said even karmelis, which is rabbinic, we make that same issa. Now, this is also only a Sidra, it's also Gezerah. They're both concerns. They're both Gezerahs that we don't let you drink because you might come to bring the clay. We're not going to make a double Gezerah. We're not going to say that this Karmelis, which is really Mutter, but we're concerned you might transport in the Deraisa Diga area. So therefore, we make it Aser. Now we're going to double up the Gezerah and say that not only don't we let you in the Karmelis, we don't let you do something that's really Mutter even from a Deraisa because you might come to actually bring the vessel that you're drinking from. We're not going to make a Gezerah like Gezerah double up. The Karmelis itself is only a Chashash of a Deraisa. We're not going to go say that now even in that area you can't do something that itself a Chashash that is really permitted to drink but that you might bring the vessel back. So therefore he argues on Abaya. However, the Gemara says that each one wants to bring a proof to and an understanding of their opinion. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, from where do I know this, that even the Karmelis is going to be Yasid? He says, Mediktani, from this that we learned in our Mishnah, and our Mishnah seems to be a clear proof to Abaya. And we continue Amar Beis, where he says, the Mishnah concluded and said, V'chein Begas. And the same halacha that we said, regarding that you're not allowed to drink in one domain if you're in the other one, unless you have the majority of everybody in there, the same thing applies to a wine press. Now, this wine press, what is this case? If it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so we already said, you now stand Rosh Hashanah Ram and lean over, bend over your neck into that other area and drink. If this wine press was a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it would be the same halacha. Rather, must be, what are we adding on with a wine press that's different? We already said from Rosh Hashanah Ram to Rosh Hashanah Yachid or vice versa. Must be the wine press is a Karmelis. For example, if it's not a height of 10 tefachim, therefore, that was the chiddush of a Chaim Megas. Obviously, it's telling us that not only is biblical domains forbidden, but even rabbinic domains, we're concerned that one might come to bring the vessel, and therefore you can't even drink in that other domain. Rava Marava says, no, there's no proof from that terminology of a Chaim Megas, because it's talking about a whole different halacha. It's not talking about the Isra of Haitzah, of this Chashash, that you might come to bring the vessel back. It's talking about a different halacha, not even regarding Shabbos, Le'ina Meiser. It's discussing halachas of Meiser. V'chenim Rav Sheshe, Sutra Rav Sheshe said, V'chen Begas is Le'ina Meiser. This halacha regarding so too a wine press is in reference to halachas of Meiser. As the Gemara brings, now we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Meisers that explains this idea. It says, Sheisin Alagas, a person is allowed to drink over the wine press, and that is, he can stand on the wine press and drink. And that is, he doesn't have to take off Meiser. Bein Mechamen u'bein Mitzainen. Whether if he does it by diluting it with warm water or whether he does it with cold water, because as long as he doesn't take it out of the wine press, it's not considered a shtiyas keva. In other words, an established drinking, which would, when you make a kvias, when you make something that has some substance, then you're going to have to take off Meiser. As long as it's considered Arai, you don't have to take off Meiser, and therefore, Pater, you're exempt from taking off Meiser. Again, as we said, whether you dilute it with warm water or if you dilute it with cold water, different, that's up in your admit. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik Mechayev, he says you're going to be Chayev if you dilute it with water, because that itself that you diluted made a kvias out of it, not just drinking straight from the pit. And therefore, whether it's hot or cold, you're going to be Chayev in Meiser. Chomer and Chom say it depends. They differentiate. They say alacham and chayv. They say if you dilute it with warm water, then you're liable in the chiv of meiser. And that is because now it's not fit to put it back anymore, the leftover, because this warm water that you diluted the wine with, it's going to ruin the rest of the wine in the pit. So therefore, once you dilute it with warm water, you already showed, you established that this entire cup was meant for drinking, so that makes a kvius out of it. However, valatzainim pater. But if you dilute it with cold water, then you're exempt, because that doesn't make a kvius out of it, because maybe you're going to drink just a little bit, because the rest you're going to put back into the pit. And therefore, whatever you did drink is considered arai, is considered temporary, and no chiv of maisa. So therefore, as Rashi explains, our Mishnah that says v'chein begas is going according to Reb Meir's opinion, that you always partner no matter how you're drinking it. And that is what the Mishnah is coming to teach you, that you're not allowed to stand on the ground near the wine press and drink in the wine press without taking off Meiser, unless, what is this that Reb Meir says, that he's going to consider it arai, no matter how you dilute it, and you don't have to take off Meiser, is only if you enter your head and the majority of your body to the gas, then it's going to be that you're going to be potter. That was what Halacha has told me. Another two Halachas of Shabbos. It's not a raya that you already spoke about big biblical, and therefore Gas must be telling us Karmelis. No, Karmelis is exactly Gzeri. You're not going to say that that's going to be Asa. Rather, Chema Gas is a reference to Halachas of Maisers, that this permission of not taking off Maiser is only if you have Reishay Berubay over the pit, and then it's considered Aroy, or else it would be Chayiv in Halachas of Maiser. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the Halachas of Haitzah. However, before we explain this Mishnah, we have to understand that the way the roofs in the times of the Gemara were, that they were flat roofs, and they would smear it with tar, so that obviously it shouldn't leak in. Now, since it's flat, the water could settle. So what they did was they made a series of small pipes that went along the roof itself, and to have the water gather in those pipes, and then it would come out to the edge of the roof. And then on the edge of the roof, there was a type of a board, like a gutter, that went along the length of the wall on a slant. And therefore, it would be able to slant off or come out. Now, all these pipes would pour on it, and that would bring all the water to one area so that it shouldn't ruin the wall. And therefore, that's where the case of our Mishnah begins. Regarding somebody that's standing in Rishus HaRab. So again, you have these pipes that get all the rainwater and it comes off to this one gutter that's on a slant coming down with all these pipes coming into that gutter and it comes out and it's coming out. Koilet Adam, a person could catch the water, min ha-maschila, from this gutter, lamata miyutvachim, if he's below, it's below 10 tvachim, in other words, it's within 10 tvachim of the ground. In other words, he's in Rosh Hashanah, and he's gathering this rainwater that's coming off from the gutter. That is, he can catch with a cup or a bowl if he's below 10 tefachim, where that means that the water that's coming to him is already in Rosh Hashanah, and that water is coming down from the gutter. So as Rashi explains, that as the Gemara is going to explain, the terminology of koilet, of catching, is dafka. It's particularly that type of way of gathering the water. But he's not allowed to do what's called tsirif, to attach his mouth or the cup itself to the gutter straight to the edge. The reason being is, as the Gemara will explain, that the gutter is within 3 tefachim of the roof. Now, although this person and his cup and everything is 10 tefachim, is within the 10 tefachim of the ground, and therefore he's already in Rosh Hashanah. So what's the problem? Even if he goes straight to the gutter, it's in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah. So the reason is because since this gutter is along the length of the wall within 3 tefachim of the roof itself, so it has the same halachic status as the roof, based on principle which we know when something is within 3 tefachim, we view it as part of it. And therefore, it says, if he's taking from the roof, which is a Rishus HaYachid, although the gutter itself is now where the edge of it is within Rishus Rabban, but since he's taking from the gutter, which is considered halachically attached to the roof, it's like as if he'd be taking the water if he went straight to the edge. If he's getting it from the airspace, it's coming down, so he's not doing anything, he's getting it from the airspace in Rosh Hashanah. That's not a problem, that's koilet. But if you'd go to do tsirif, to attach it straight to the edge, it's like as if he would be taking it straight from the roof, which would be the isra of taking from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's necessarily halach of koilet, of gathering this water from the gutter, if it's below 10 tefachim. However, although that's the halach regarding the gutters, the Mishnah then says, "Umin hatziner," but regarding the drain pipe, "Mikamakam shaisin," any way that he wants, he could drink the water, he can gather it, and that is, he can do not only a koilet of catching the drops that are coming out from it, but he could even do this thing called tsiv, which is to literally put his mouth or the cup straight there to the edge of the drain pipe. And the reason being is because the drain pipes are always made very long, and that is, they're made at like a right angle coming away from the roof. And that's how it comes and brings it out to Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, there you don't have the principle of love it, which you have by the gutter that we said. And then the reason being is because it is more than three tefachim from the roof. Now, since it's below 10 tefachim, it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. In other words, it's already Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, there's no iser, because it's not like taking it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. In other words, even if you do tziruf, which you put it straight there, you put your mouth right there, it's still not a problem because it's in Rosh Hashanah already. Now the Gemara, Rashi explains that the Gemara will establish that the space within this drain pipe does not have an area of four tefachim, and therefore it's considered makom patur, and therefore it's mutter even l'ketchil to go ahead and take from the drain pipe. And we don't make a gzeira that, even though the drain pipe doesn't have here four tefachim, but maybe you might do it in the case of when it does have four tefachim. And why don't you make such a gzeira? It's because even if it had four tefachim, it still would only be an Issa Drabbanon, and we're not Geyser Atu Drabbanon, only Geyser Atu Deraisa, because it would still be a Carmelist, because as we established in the Gemara, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, that it does not have a height of 10 Tvachim, and therefore, the Mishnah, that is why the Mishnah actually says that the Maschila, that the gutter, that it is below 10 Tvachim, because regarding the gutter itself, it doesn't make a difference if it's within 10 tefachim or not, because you're anyways not doing tziruf. You're only gathering, you're catching, you're being kailed. That doesn't make a difference where the gutter itself is. So the reason why actually it says regarding the case of the gutter that it's within 10 tefachim was for the second case, because the Mishnah wanted to say that regarding the drain pipe, you in all circumstances, you can do not only kailed, but even tziruf. Now, if the cases were told by that it was above 10 tefachim, then tziruf would not be permitted from the tziner, from the drain pipe, because then we would be geyser. Then we would decree that you're not allowed to go ahead and do tziruf because of a case when the drain pipe would be 4 tefachim, and then you would be carrying from a Rosh HaYachid to a Rosh HaSarabim. And the only reason why we don't make such a gezerah is because we're talking about that it is below 10 tefachim, where then even if it was 4 tefachim, at most it would be a karmelis, and we're not going to make a gezerah for a gezerah. However, the truth is that regarding the halacha of koilet, of just catching the water, not putting it straight to the gutter or the drain pipe, that's permitted even higher than 10 tefachim. And the reason being is because the airspace is a makom patur, just like we say by Maschila. So although our Mishnah seems to say that the case of koilet, to catch the water from the gutter, it has to be below 10 tefachim. The truth is, it doesn't have to be below 10 tefachim. It's only regarding the second case of the tzin of the drain pipe that it has to be below 10 tefachim. So that's the halacha of the Mishnah. Again, differentiating between the case of the maschila, the gutter, and the case of the tzina of the drain pipe, if a person is allowed to do only koilet, or even do tziruf, even to go ahead and put it straight to the edge. And as we're going to find in the Gemara, that the idea is because if we view it as part of the roof, which is if it's within three tefachim, which is the case of the gutter, then we're saying it's like you're taking from a shasrach to a shasram, therefore you can't go straight there and take it. It's like you're taking it off the roof. You would have to actually catch it when you're in the space of either the shasram or even above that in the makom patur. Whereas by the case of the drain pipe, it's going to be further away than three tefachim from the roof, and that's why you could actually attach the cup there, because you're not taking from the Rosh HaSayachid to the Rosh HaSarabim. It's already in the airspace of the Rosh HaSarabim where you're catching it. So the Gemara explains. We said in the first case of the Mishnah, koilet in, that by the gutter, the maschila, one could catch the rain of mitzarev, but regarding to put your mouth or the barrel straight to the gutter, loy, that you're not allowed to do. So the question is, my timer, what's the reason? We already said that it's below 10 tefachim. In other words, you're in the airspace of Rosh HaSarabim, even in the case of the gutter. Now, so what's the problem? You're in Rosh HaSarabim. Why can't you go ahead and put your mouth right there? You're drinking in Rosh HaSarabim, even though the gutter is right by the roof. But what's the difference? Even the gutter is in Rosh HaSarabim. And that Gemara says, Rav Nachman, which we had mentioned this far already in the Mishnah, Hacha b'maschila pachis megimol samach legagaskin. We're talking about a gutter that is less than three tefachim away from the roof. And therefore what? But that's still, it's still within the airspace of a Shasar Abim. The Chalpachis Megimel, Samach Legag, Kegag Dami. Anything, as that we always say by the halachas of Lavid, that when the gutter is less than three tefachim from the roof, it has the same halachic status as the roof, and therefore it's like you would be pulling it from the gutter, which is as pulling it from the roof, and thereby you'll be taking from a Shasar Yachid to a Shasar Abim, which is awesome. So the Gemara says, Tanya Mahachi, similarly we learned in the Braisa that when it's less than three tefachim from the roof, it has the halacha like the roof, and therefore if someone's doing tziruf, he's actually drinking straight out of the gutter, it's as if he would be drinking straight out of the roof, which again would be a problem from Rosh HaSayach to Rosh HaSarabim. The Braisa says, Aymer Adam Rishus Yachad. A person can stand in Rishus Yachad, for example, on a roof. Umagbia Yadu Lamala Masar Tvachim. He can raise up his hand above 10 Tvachim. Lepachas Mishleisha Samach Legag. To an area, for example, let's say a gutter, that's less than 3 Tvachim from the roof. Vikoilet. And then to catch from the ear space the water that's dropping from the roof of his friend. As long as he doesn't go ahead and drink straight off from the roof, because again, that would be a problem of taking from his roof to your roof, and without an eruv, that's forbidden to take from one domain to another domain, even though they're both rishus l'yachad, and therefore, again, that's showing us the same concept that when it's within 3 tefachim, when you're doing actual tziruv, that's going to be a problem. Tani Yiddich, similarly, we learned in another brayse like Rav Nachman, L'yamar odim rishus l'yachad, a person should not stand in rishus l'yachad, v'yegbi yodir l'mal masar tefachim, and raise up his hand above 10 tefachim, Lefachis megimel samach legag v'tzarv, to something that's within 3 tefachim of the roof, and to do tziruf. Again, the same idea. Avokayilahu b'shoisa, but you could catch it and then drink it. Again, that would be taking care of the problem, because the only problem is tziruf, which is then taking it as if from that domain to the other domain. Then the Mishnah said, minatzin mekamakam shoisa. The second case was, however, from the drain pipe. In all circumstances, you could drink it even with tziruf. So Tana, we learned the brayse, however. Im yesh betziner dalet al dalet. However, if the drain pipe has a width of 4 tefachim, then it is forbidden to do tziruf. Now, that's in spite of the fact, again, to keep in mind that the drain pipe is coming down to within 10 tefachim of the ground, and therefore it's like as if it's in Rishus Aram. So therefore, that's one reason why it shouldn't be a problem. You also don't have the problem of lovet, because again, we said it's more than 3 tefachim away from the roof. So what is the problem, even if it's 4 tefachim wide? However, it's going to still be considered at least a karmelis, and therefore, it's like you're taking from one rishus to another rishus. That is because you're taking from a karmelis to a rishus haram. So although you're right, it's not taking it from the roof, which is a rishus hayachad, rishus haram, but if it has a width of 4 tefachim, at least that would be a problem, because now something that's within 10 tefachim of the ground, and it has a width of 4 tefachim, that is what a karmelis is, and therefore, you can't do tziruf, because that would be taking from a karmelis to Rishus Harab. However, we explained in Rashi, the Mishnah, that he says that, but when it's less than 4 tefachim, we don't say that it's asur atu 4 tefachim, because again, that would be considered gzeil gzeil, and that we don't do, and the reason being is because since it's within 10 tefachim, at most it's a karmelis. If it would be above 10 tefachim, that would be a problem, and that's why we mentioned the Mishnah, that we're talking about cases of Lamata Mir Tvachim, exactly for the case of the Tziner, to say that it's going to be permitted in all cases if it's not a 4 Tvachim wide. So now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. But again, with the topic of Haitzah, Bar Bishasaram B'chol Yaseh, regarding a pit in the public domain and its Chulia. Now, Chulia is the area that, let's say when you dig a pit and you put up what you dug and you make around it, so it's basically like a wall that goes up from the surface of the ground upwards. So if you have a pit in Rosh Hashanah with its chulia, what's surrounding it, wall, if it has a height of 10 tefachim, so then chaloin sha'al gabav, so a window that's on top of this pit, you're allowed to fill up from that pit through the window of the person that's overlooking that pit on Shabbos. Similarly, a similar halacha, if you have a pile of trash, of garbage, that has a height of 4 tefachim, of 10 tefachim, with a 4 tefachim. In other words, it has the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid. So chaloin shal gabav, shayfchim techem mayim b'shabbos. So the window that's overlooking that garbage heap can throw garbage, can pour garbage into it on Shabbos, again, because they're both Rishus HaYachid. To which the Gemara right away asked, but my skin, what exactly are we talking about in these cases of the Mishnah? Ilema b'smucha, if it's talking about that it's nearby, and that is that you have the pit near the wall, that means it's within 4 tefachim of the wall. So you have a wall where the house is, where you have the window overlooking it. And if the pit is within 4 tefachim, so lemali chulia yud, why do I need that the embankment will be 10 tefachim high? The pit itself is rishus hayachid, and it has a depth of 10 tefachim. So and there is no rishus harabim that separates the pit from the wall, from the window, because like we just said, that it's less than 4 tefachim. And therefore, at most, it's going through a makom patur, which is not a problem. So therefore, why should you need the chulia of 10 tefachim height, even without a chulia? Just by virtue of there being a pit within 4 tefachim, should be enough to allow a person from the window to draw water. So Rav Huna says, that it is more than 4 tefachim away from the window. And therefore, the time of the ikah chulyasara, that's the reason that since there's the embankment is 10 tefachim high, and therefore your bucket will not be passing through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It won't even be passing through the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's why it's going to be mutter. Again, because if you're throwing out the bucket, if it has to land in that pit, it has to go throughout the journey horizontally through the ear a higher than 10 tefachim, because it has to land over the wall that's 10 tefachim high. So when you're throwing it, even though it's passing through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is that area of 4 tefachim or more between the window and the pit, but it's never going to be passing lower than 10 tefachim, which is the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Like a chuya, and that's what the chiddush of the mission is. But if there would be no embankment, asar, that's 10 tefachim high, kametalta mishasayachad, mishasayachad, derech shasram, that would be a problem, because then you would be carrying possibly from mishasayachad, which is your window in your house, to the mishasayachad of the pit through the mishasaram, if it would dip down within 10 tefachim of the ground, which that is forbidden. That's why we said that it has to have embankment of 10 tefachim, because it is more than 4 tefachim away, and therefore it has to have the wall that height to make sure that you're not passing derech makom Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which would be an iser. Rabbi Yechonah says no. Afilatem besmucha, we could even say that it's within 4 tefachim from the wall, which then the question was, if it's within 4 tefachim, so then what's the chiddush? You shouldn't need to have an embankment even without that. It's going from one Rosh Hashanah to another through a makom Torah, because it's less than 4 tefachim. There's no Rosh Hashanah Rabbim over there. However, he says, Hakamash Mulan, that this itself is the Chiddush. The Burvachul Yasim Mitzarf Al Asara. The Chiddush is telling us that to create a height of 10 Tfachim could be a combination of depth and height. That you could combine, let's say, 5 Tfachim of the pit with the 5 Tfachim of the embankment of the wall. And that is, the Mishnah is not like we had assumed, that we need to have the chulya, the embankment itself, to be 10 tefachim without the pit itself, like the first interpretation had said, because we don't want it to go through the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so it has to have a height of 10 tefachim. That's not what it is. Rather, the chiddush of the Mishnah was telling us that when you have a pit in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you have the embankment around it, and the total of the combined of them is a height of 10 tefachim from the ground of the pit, together they would combine to create a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and that you could fill from the window to the pit. But the main chiddush is not that you can fill from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah when there's less than 4 tefachim, because it's passing through a makom Torah, not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But the chiddush is that it is a Rosh Hashanah, because you would think maybe depth is different than height. The chiddush is that no, together they're 10 tefachim, and that's okay. You could combine the depth of the pit, of which is 5 tefachim, let's say, with the height of the wall of the magma, which is itself 5 tefachim, and you combine them together. So then the Mishnah said that, similar to the case of the pit, that ashba Rosh Hashanah Rabbim v'chulu, that regarding a garbage heap in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that you could pour, and that is because the ashba itself is considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it has a height of 10 tefachim with a width of 4 tefachim, has the dimension of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's the same halacha like the case of the pit, that if, let's say, it's within 4 tefachim, you can go ahead and pour out the garbage that's overlooking, although it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it itself is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and it's less than 4 tefachim away, so you can pour out garbage out your window. But then the Gemara asks, I understand the actual halacha, but there should be a different problem with this. Are we not concerned that maybe the garbage is going to be taken away? People take away garbage, they put it other places. Are we not concerned for that? In other words, maybe ultimately it's going to be less than 10 tefachim high, and you're still going to be throwing out garbage as you always do, and then you might be chayv on haitzah of Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Are we not suspicious of that? We don't suspect that? But v'haravin by Rav Adol Amar Rav Yitzchak, he said, Maisa b'mavi echad. There was an incident with a certain alleyway, that one end opened up to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as mavis always do. They're usually closed on three sides, open to one side is open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The other end was closed. Now, regarding its two sides, Shetzidui echad kol liyam, one side ended by the sea. It had the sea on one side, and it had the embankments of the sea bed was the walls, which had a height of 10 tefachim. And the other side had a height of 10 tefachim of a garbage heap, and therefore it was enclosed on both sides, one by the sea, one by the garbage dump, and the other one was actually closed, and the other side was open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you had the homes and the chatzeris open to it by the middle wall. And the incident came in front of Rebbe. So say, what is the halacha regarding this moving? And he didn't say that it's forbidden, but he didn't say it's permitted. Now, why is that? He didn't say it's permitted. Because we're concerned that one of the walls might not be there for so long and people are still going to carry, because maybe the garbage hump, maybe the garbage heap will be taken away. And also, we're going to the other side, the Yalayam certain, we're also concerned that maybe the sea might have that sediment might come up, and that is all the garbage that's there might come up to the edge of the seabed, and it's going to dry there, and it's going to make it more of a not such a narrow incline, and therefore it's going to become part of the ground, and you won't have like a wall of 10 tefachim, because it's going to be more than the area of four amas to have that height of 10 tefachim, which will be considered like a part of the ground, and you won't have a wall there either. And therefore, I didn't want to say heter, because on both walls, they were a little shaky, because they might not be there for that long. However, Issel Le'amah, but he didn't say that it's forbidden, because the walls were there. So that was a quandary that he had, and he didn't say Issel or heter. However, the question is that we see that there is such a concern that the garbage might be taken away, and therefore, how do we allow throwing out garbage, although it is Rosh HaYachid, and it's less than four tefachim away, but there's a concern that might be taken away, and you might come to do the Issa Dereisa, which we make Gezeris for, of Haitza, from your Rosh HaYachid, from your home to the Rosh HaRam, when it's going to be less than 10 tefachim. And the Gemara says, Loi Kasha. Ha, the case of Rebbe, that we were chayshish, that the garbage might be taken away, the yachid. It's talking about an individual, a privately owned garbage, that might be taken away. Ha, the case of our Mishnah, that we were not concerned, that we think garbage will be garbage, will stay there, was the Rabbim, that we're not concerned about, and that explains the discrepancy why there he was concerned, and here we're not concerned because it's the Rabbim, and therefore you can throw out the garbage, and we're not concerned that it's going to be taken away. The next Mishnah speaks about two halachas regarding a halachas of tree. Elon Shahimesach al arts, regarding a tree that was, so to speak, like a tent over the ground, and that is that the branches stretched out around itself on all sides, and then it would branch downwards. So the halacha is im ein neifu gevayim in the arch, leishat v'achim, if the branches come down so much that there's less than a distance of three tvachim from the end of the branches to the ground, metaltan tachta, one is allowed to carry underneath those branches. Because we say the halacha of lavid, we see it as if they're, since they're within three tefachim of the ground, as if they're closing off the ground, and we have walls that are 10 tefachim high, you're in a bona fide home, you're in a hut, because the branches come down and surrounds the whole entire area, and it's less than, you can get in because it's there's underneath three tefachim, but however, it's like closed off based on lavid. A different halacha regarding trees is sharashav gvayim in the arts gimel tefachim, if the roots of the tree have at least a height of three tefachim, then lo yeshiv alein, then one is not allowed to sit on those roots, because once it reaches at least a height of three tefachim, then we consider it like a tree, and as the halacha always is, one is not allowed to use a tree because we're concerned that you might come to break off part of the tree, which is a chiv d'iraisa, so they say you're not allowed to touch a tree and utilize a tree, and therefore the case is, once it reaches a height of three tefachim, then we don't view it as part of the ground anymore, we view it as a tree, and that's going to be awesome. So the Gemara explains our Mishnah. It says, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rishua, regarding the heter, there were two halachas regarding a tree. And the first one said that when you have a tree that the branches are like almost like walls around it, and it's within three tefachim that you could carry underneath it. Ein metaltan laba yesem mebeisasayim. However, you're not allowed to carry more than the area of beisasayim. And what that means is if the tree was surrounding an area more than beisasayim, then you can't even carry more than four amas under that tree. And even if that was the reason why you planted the tree in the first case, which would be the classic case of mukaf ladir that was surrounded for dwelling purposes, where that should be mutter even more, as the Gemara asks, my timer, what is the reason? As we explained, the whole reason that you have this the walled-in area from the tree, it was walled-in, I mean, in other words, you planted it for dwelling residential purposes. And then we know even 10 kor is mutter. So why is it usser even more than Dalet Amos if it's in more than the area of the Mesasheim? And that we continue on the top of Kovim at Aleph, Mishum David Dirish Tashmisha La'aver. Because ultimately, the utility of such a hut, of such an area, although there are walls because it's less than three tefachim from the ground and it's lovely and it's closed off and it's beautiful, you even planted it for that purpose. But the utility is for the airspace. In other words, people don't live there. They only use it for those who are the watchmen in the fields, and they really use it for the ear out of it. In other words, you're in it, but you're using it for something outside for the airspace. And b'chol dirish tashmisha la'aver, any dwelling, any type of a home, that its utility is for the airspace, not for the home itself, ein metaltan laba yesem mebeisasayim. You're not allowed to carry if it has more than the area in the base of Sayim. Again, as many different halachas regarding dira, that it's a subpar type of a dira. And all type of subpar dira have share the same properties with like a karfav, that it, since it's not for residential purposes, although here it is, you did it for that purpose, but it's subpar in the sense that it's not really for there, but it's really for the avar around it. So therefore, it can't be more than the area of base of Sayim.